Support for GLT's Grow comes from Chris Holderly at Advantage Lawn and Landscape, offering customized services for commercial and residential landscaping and property design, including staging for long-term growth during all seasons. Proud to serve Central Illinois. Details at growingadvantage.com. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Outdoor furniture isn't what it used to be. The trend is no longer toward an outdoor dinette set, but more of a living room type of space, and it can get elaborate. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University's School of Biological Sciences, and he's the curator of the Fell Arboretum. Murph, thanks for coming by and talking to us about gardening stuff.
Thanks for having me over, Mike.
You already spend a lot of time outside. Do you also like relaxing outside, or are you somebody that's headed, you know, inside for the couch with the AC?
I think I relax more than I work outside, for the record. I like to work outside, but there's more relaxing going on outside, for sure.
So,
what about you, Mike?
A little bit of both, but sometimes if I'm outside all day, it just feels good to get out of that heat, right?
Yeah,
take a
sure.
shower, cool off.
That's right.
But sometimes I'll cycle back out to the deck when it gets cooler.
Yeah, and if you have your outdoor living space ready to go all the time, and one way to do that is by having waterproof decor in it, it's ready for you at any time. So you just never know when the mood would suit you, and you never know what the weather would hold. So that's why I thought this is some interesting stuff. The waterproof decor that really got my attention first, Mike, were the rugs. They're big, great big now, and they're made out of a type of nylon. There have been outdoor rugs in the past that were, you know, retailers were carrying them, but now it's more specialized. Some of the older ones were actually a fabric rug with a rubber bottom, kind of like the shower mat at grandma's house, right? And no matter how many times you wash that thing, once it gets dirty, it's got a smell to it because that bottom traps some moisture. Differently with the nylon and the other waterproof compounds and stuff that they use, it's kind of like fishing line if you look at it real close. And you can hit it with soap and water and high pressure hose to do the maintenance on it and keep it fresh as a daisy.
And a rug can help define the space, too.
Not only does it help define the space, but it makes it more barefoot friendly, you know? Because I know when I clip my toenails that I want to be comfortable. Yeah. And you definitely get the color.
Do you just shake the rug out to get the toenail clippings off? Is that
well, I take a dustpan and throw them in the compost bin. But
so an outdoor rug's not going to damage a hardwood deck?
No. Because water can move through it just like air can. So because air can move through it, it might be damp underneath of that rug for a little while after it rains, but it's not going to stay damp there and attract earwigs and all kinds of gross worms and roly-polies that are welcome in the yard but not on the patio. And they also kind of help soften some of the sound that's going on there. So if you have a built patio of brick or concrete or manufactured block, you get some... you get some reflected sound and things like that, and it can help soften that a lot, too.
What about the furniture that sets on top of the rug? Is it, how do you balance durability with comfort?
Well, I think it's a preference and taste issue, right? So I would say from the rug standpoint, they're comfortable under bare feet. And now... that makes me think about the pillows that are made out of the same exact stuff. So how do they make a waterproof pillow? Well, the stuffing is inside of a plastic bag, and it's covered with something that's similar to what the rug is made out of. So, yeah, it gets wet. And if you go out to, you know, lean on it right after it's been raining, you're going to get wet because it's going to be holding some water in there. But it's not going to hold it forever and start to break down that pillow. And you could grab two pillows and smack them together and knock the water out of it, and you'd be back in business.
So this material doesn't really absorb the water. It sheds it, and it dries quickly, and it drains through.
That's right.
So let's talk about the furniture for a moment. Is it important, do you think, to actually set in the furniture before you buy it to make sure it's something you like?
I don't know if it would be smart not to set in. I mean, you'd have to.
I mean, give it a test run, right?
You'd have to. And I think about where would you go to buy it, right? When you go to a fine landscaping retail showroom, they have this furniture set up for you, and it's a display. So I think they're encouraging you to do that. And even when you go shop for a mattress, they act like if you want to lay down and take a nap, they'll keep the music down for you or whatever, right? It may not be the truth, but they know that you want to test the stuff out. Yeah, you got to definitely test it out. And you got to think about, you know, is there children involved? Is there going to be alcohol involved? You know, so you might want chairs with arms versus chairs without arms, right?
So you can set your drink down.
That's right.
So, yeah. So is it generally true, even in patio furniture, that you get what you pay for? Should people invest in some quality here and not just buy the cheap, put-it-together-yourself stuff?
Yeah, because I think you do get what you pay for, Mike, and you get the affordable stuff, and you skip a couple of maintenance, you know, put it away clean at the end of the year or whatever, and you're replacing it in 2 or 3 years. The same is true for furniture inside the house, in my personal opinion. You do get what you pay for. But, you know, they're buying opportunities all the time. I was at the Sam's Club, and they had these unbelievable sets that had the little gazebo that went with it and everything. And a lot of this is made out of coated wood or coated fiber, and the maintenance on this stuff is super important.
So how should someone get started? I guess look at the space, take some measurements, figure out what sort of pieces you might want, and then go shopping?
Yeah, and I think I look at decor like that's the stage where you're ready to hang pictures and put the candles out, right? Mm-hmm. You're making this decor decision after you've already picked your couch out and you picked your chairs out, and you know you went with the low lounge table instead of the, you know, 40-inch tall table.
So hanging pictures, are you talking about actually maybe making the outside wall of your house look like the inside wall of a room outside?
I am. I am suggesting that. And, you know, something that I'm a big fan of that I've done many times when I did this professionally is hang mirrors outside and hang them in a manner so that when you look at them, you're seeing a reflection of the sky or a reflection of the trees.
You have to be careful with the sun there.
Yeah, but you just put a little tiny shim on the bottom of the mirror or its frame so that it's directed towards the sky.
Sure.
So you're not looking at yourself and each other at it, and it appears to be a window. But I was talking about the, you know, arranging the furniture and the tables and everything, you know, that you have. Once you have all those bones, the components for your outdoor living room, you'll know how big a rug do you need. I have, I have 6 pieces of furniture, and they each have 2 arms, so you can need your pillows for that, and so on and so forth.
So what about lighting? Nothing can sort of harsh your outdoor experience more than a bare bulb on the outside of your house. So,
oh, great point.
So you're looking for some lighting on some of the end tables, things like that?
Lighting is great if you can see the source of the light. So if you can literally see the bulb in the lantern or whatever, it needs to be less than 40 watts. And for the accent lighting in the landscape, the most dramatic lighting that we've seen when we go on vacations, when we go visit somebody else out of town and they take you to a restaurant somewhere. Now that I've said this, I'd ask you to look into it yourself. But when you can see the effect of the light but not the source, that is really a great way
to do it. So you see
the
splash of light on a tree or on the outside of a home, but you don't actually see the bulb.
That's right.
Or the fixture.
Yeah, because the fixture is either submerged in the earth or it's hidden behind something.
Do we need to think about storage of some of this stuff over the winter? I mean, is it going to stay out all year under covers, or should people be thinking about how to get it out or off the deck or out of the patio area and in under some cover?
I think in the Midwest, you would most often want to bring this stuff in because it can go from soaking wet to frozen hard as a rock, and waterproof or not, that's hard on stuff. And a lot of the outdoor furniture, it's recommended that you cover it or put it away to prevent that occurrence from taking place. But you can leave it outside if it's covered. And if it's in a spot where it's not an eyesore, you know, you could wrap it with tarps or something, but some of the furniture have specific covers that are a little more attractive.
Okay. If you have any questions about outdoor decor or anything in the garden, you can submit them at wglt.org/grow. And Patrick Murphy with ISU's School of Biological Sciences will answer them. Next week, you'll learn all about outdoor weather stations and garden cams, and I assume all of this can be checked on a phone?
Absolutely.
That's Patrick Murphy. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.